It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Tuesday, May 10th. I'm Patricia Naft. The city of Montrose was recently selected to be one of the five cities in the U.S. to participate in a broadband development program. KVNF's Jake Ryan has more.
The Cool and Connected project won't help bring high-speed internet access to the city, but instead, it will help figure out what to do when it gets here. This is Virgil Turner, the city's director of innovation.
DMEA is working to bring broadband in a big way to their service territory. We want to be ready, thinking about how we're going to get the most out of this.
He says that while many businesses may be chomping at the bit to use broadband, they'll be using this program to find ways to utilize the internet and the dramatic increase in bandwidth that some places may not have thought of. It can also be used as part of a broad economic strategy.
We have a campaign that ran last year where restaurants can put a sticker on their menu items that feature local foods. Well, we want to take that to the next step, and so having Wi-Fi access points in the restaurants, and then when the visitor gets onto the Wi-Fi, they can read more about our local food efforts in Montrose.
Work on the project is already started in full. The Delta Montrose Electrical Association plans to bring sign-up for fiber optic for Paonia, Cedar Edge, and Montrose later next month. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
After an appeal from Wild Earth Guardians, the lease expansion for Bowie No. 2 was thrown out. The expansion was originally granted by the BLM office in Montrose, but a federal review board found that the office didn't have the authority to okay the expansion. The state BLM office will have to approve any expansion for the mine. Whether this will be a major issue or not is unknown. The Bowie No. 2 mine announced they were idling this year due to the dramatic decline in the price of coal. With just days left in the annual legislative session, the Republican-controlled Senate unveiled a bipartisan bill to create a presidential primary in Colorado. This measure would replace another primary bill that is already making its way through the Democratic-controlled House. One of the main differences between the two measures is that the House bill will let unaffiliated voters temporarily join a party in order to vote in a presidential primary. There are also proposed presidential primary ballot measures, including one that would create an open primary. Colorado's caucus system would remain in place for other races. The latest snowpack survey is out for Colorado. Things look good. This is Brian DeMoncos. He's a hydrologist with the Colorado Snow Survey Program.
Snowpack through much of the state is in pretty darn good standing at this point. Being near normal is a great spot to be, as opposed to where we were at this point last year, where snowpack was down, as was year-to-date precipitation. And we were clamoring or hoping that we would get some precipitation to bring our potential water supply back up. But this year is much better off at this point.
Last year's dire situation was saved by an unusually rainy spring. Thankfully, we won't need that this year. With things at normal, the area is not too vulnerable to drought, and there's not much danger of flooding.
Yeah, having reservoir storage be where it is right now and having these good stream flow forecasts, things look pretty darn good at this point.
DeMoncos does say that while we're well positioned, this summer and fall will still be heavily dependent on what the weather decides to do. With only a few days left in the state's legislative session, lawmakers in both parties are trying to get something across the finish line that will help with the state's high cost of housing and get more money for roads. As part of our weekly Capitol conversation, Benta Berkland talks about those and other issues.
We're joined by Ed Sealover, a reporter with the Denver Business Journal, and Joey Bunch with the Denver Post. Ed, I know throughout the session there's been this focus on trying to get something passed to make housing more affordable. Now we're at the end of the session. It seems like some of the measures are not going to make it.
Well, most of the measures probably won't make it over the finish line, but this was a two-part strategy. One, Republicans have wanted for 4 years now to make it harder for small groups of homeowners association board members and condos to file class action lawsuits over purported construction defects. They say the ability to file those lawsuits so easily is one of the major reasons there are no condos being built in Colorado at affordable rates at this point. They talked for months about that, about how to do that, how to compromise the Democrats who have opposed it. And those talks fell apart on Thursday at the last minute. So that eliminates that part of it. Meanwhile, Democrats have a three-bill package that goes toward helping people with rental assistance, giving tax credits for low-income housing builders, and even allowing people to save a very minor amount through savings accounts for first-time home buyers. These are moving through, and there is some bipartisan backing, but the question is whether or not the water is poisoned after the way the construction defects reform talks fell apart, and whether any of these can make it across the finish line.
Those bills are just window dressing. It gets at what the Democrats want, but it doesn't get at all to what the Republicans want. You know, this is a grand poker game that I think we'll continue to play in 2017.
Obviously, big differences between the political parties, and sometimes it comes down to Democrats think something's a problem and Republicans don't, vice versa. But on this issue, across the board, lawmakers feel that affordable housing is a serious problem, but still, Ed, no big changes this session, and they really just couldn't agree on a solution that would move us significantly forward.
Yeah, I mean, they come at it from different angles. Republicans think the lawsuits are the problem. Democrats think it's the market that's the problem. They're not at a place they can meet in the middle. It's kind of like road funding. Everybody agrees we need more transportation funding in this state, but Democrats want to take it by recategorizing the hospital provider fee, getting $200 million a year. Republicans say, the hell with that. Let's just send it to the voters, ask them if they'll approve $3.5 billion in bond sales, and we'll take care of I-25 and I-70. And in the end, both of those efforts are probably going to die as well.
To a slightly different topic, Joey, you've covered an interesting bill. Describe what happened.
It was to permanently attach the name Mile High to the Broncos Stadium. And a Republican-led Senate committee, in fact, all the Republicans on a Senate committee, killed that bill. And apparently they didn't see those million fans, Broncos fans, out on the doorsteps of the Capitol on the Monday after the Super Bowl. But on the other hand, this strikes at the heart at what Republicans believe. You know, it's a feel-good bill, and they're not willing to meddle in private business to pass some feel-good foolishness.
Having Mile High was considered very good branding for the state. Is that why folks wanted to ensure that that would always stay in the stadium name?
No, I think it was tradition. Reality is, nobody is ever going to take that name away. You know, they'd be foolish to. They would anger all the local fans.
I mean, if this is just not the picture of what has happened this session, here's a bill that everybody agrees on the principles. In fact, everybody agrees you may not even need a bill to keep Mile High in the name of the stadium, but it was a Democrat bill, so Republicans are going to kill it. And if the Republicans ran it, the Democrats probably would have killed it too. Welcome to the 2016 legislative session.
Thanks, Ed Seelover with the Denver Business Journal and Joey Bunch, a reporter for the Denver Post. I'm Benta Brooklyn, and you've been listening to Capital Conversation.
For KBNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.